Welcome back to Briarwood Kids Ask. My name is Dan Buck. I am the director of lower school at the Briarwood School in Houston, Texas. It is my absolute delight and pleasure to have attorney David Boies here and Matilda, a fourth grade student at the Briarwood School who wants to become an attorney. If you don't know, David Boies has been the chairman and a managing partner of Boies Schiller Flexner since its founding in 1997. David has been selected as one of the 100 most influential people in the world by Time Magazine. He has been named Global International Litigator of the Year by Who's Who Legal, which is an unprecedented 7 times. David has been named the Litigator of the Year by the American Lawyer, the Lawyer of the Year by National Law Journal twice, the Antitrust Lawyer of the Year by the New York Bar Association, Best Lawyers in America from 1987 to 2021. Law Dragon 500 Leading Lawyers, and a star individual by Chambers USA. He was named one of the top 50 big law innovators of the last 50 years by the American Lawyer in 2013. We are delighted and honored to have Mr. Boies on our program today, and we have some great questions here from Matilda, I believe. Okay. So if you're both ready, I'm going to turn the camera over. Okay. Get out of this picture. It's all up to you, Matilda.
What was it like growing up with dyslexia?
It was interesting. I grew up in the 1940s. As you could tell from the introduction, I'm a little old by now. And I grew up in the 1940s when nobody, at least that I knew of, had ever heard of dyslexia. All people knew was that I couldn't read very well. And so I grew up just thinking that reading was something that was difficult for me, that it was I was good at other things. I was good at listening. I was good at reasoning, but it was a disadvantage for me. But I didn't think much of it. I grew up in an environment where education was not as highly competitive as it is today. People were less interested in how well you read. It was less of a competitive environment. So it was easier for me. I have 2 children. I have 6 children, but 2 of them have dyslexia. And for them, growing up has been much more difficult than it was for me.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel different from other kids growing up?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Did you feel different growing did you feel different from other kids at school?
A little bit. They could read and I couldn't. But on the other hand, I was better at arithmetic than a lot of them were. And I learned to listen. So I did okay on most of my tests. So I felt a little different. But I didn't feel that I was inferior in any way. Nobody particularly made fun of me because I didn't read very well. I kind of hid it. In the early days, I could memorize the words from what people read in class. And so I pretended to read for a while before people figured out that I couldn't read.
Did you go to a special school like Briarwood?
I did not. Where I grew up, there weren't any special schools. On the one hand, it was easier for me because, as I say, I grew up in an environment in which reading and academic accomplishments weren't nearly as competitive as they are today. But it was also harder because I didn't have anybody to help me. I didn't have anybody to teach me, techniques about reading. I didn't have anybody to explain to me what the origins of my difficulty in reading were. It's easy sometimes to confuse differences in the way you learn with differences in your ability. Dyslexia is not any inhibition. It's not an indication of lack of intelligence. It's not an indication of inability to accomplish things. It's just a different way of learning. And in the 1940s, when I grew up, people didn't really understand that. And so they really had not adapted to trying to figure out ways to help people learn better when they have dyslexia. So in some ways it was easier, in some ways it was harder.
Did you go how did dyslexia affect the way you work as a lawyer?
That's a very good question, and it's an interesting question because even today, I read much more slowly than most of my fellow lawyers. And so I have to take that into account. I have to give myself enough time to get the reading done. On the other hand, I listen better. I grew up learning most of what I learned by listening rather than reading. And so I've become a very good listener. It's also, I think, taught me some patience. So I think I have some advantages and some disadvantages to other lawyers. What really counts once you become a lawyer is how well you think, that is, how well you process information, and how well you express your points of view. And dyslexia really doesn't affect that. So most of what I do is not really affected by my dyslexia at this point. If anything, I think my dyslexia, because it taught me to listen well, it taught me to speak without notes, because when you're dyslexic, it's hard to speak coherently if you're constantly trying to look down at notes, which are hard to read. So I've learned techniques that I think are very helpful to me and valuable to me as a lawyer. But mostly, by the time you get out of school, dyslexia is much less significant. I mean, it affects me, as I say, in my speed of reading. It makes it difficult for me to learn foreign languages. But in terms of what I do as a lawyer, it doesn't really affect me much anymore.
Do you have many cases, and how do you focus on a case?
One of the things that you learn, or I learned anyway, trying to overcome my dyslexia in terms of reading, was the ability to concentrate and the ability to be patient. When you read more slowly, you've got to be a little more patient. And that patience helps me a great deal in terms of how I deal with clients, how I deal with difficult problems, how I deal with judges and juries. So I think that the adaptations that you make can actually end up making you more effective. I think that people have written about my ability to focus and be patient. And I think that's actually something that my dyslexia actually helped me develop, because I had to learn how to focus. When you're doing more than one case, you have to learn to focus on one case at a time and then move to the next case. Sometimes you do that in the space of a single day. Sometimes you do that in the space of a single hour. But you've got to be focusing on what you're doing at that particular time. And the more complicated the case, and a lot of my cases are pretty complicated, the more complicated the case, the more important that is.
What was your first case?
My first case that I worked on was a case where an elevator failed at the New York World's Fair in the 1960s. I was a young lawyer. I didn't get into court on that case, but I did some research and wrote some memos. The first case that I was actually in court, on my feet, speaking to a judge, examining witnesses, was a case that I did in Jackson, Mississippi, in the middle 1960s, when I went down to represent civil rights workers who had been arrested in and around Jackson, Mississippi. And that was the first case where I was actually on my feet examining witnesses, pretty hostile witnesses, in a court case.
When did you decide to be a lawyer?
When I was growing up, I knew I either wanted to be a lawyer, like Perry Mason, or I wanted to be a high school American history teacher, like my father was. And when I went to college, I still didn't know whether I was going to become a history teacher or go to law school. When I was in my second year of law school, of college, I discovered that I could actually go to law school without graduating from college at that point. And I was, like some young people are, in a hurry to get out to the, quote, real world, close quote. And so I decided, well, I'd go to law school. And if I wanted to teach, I could teach with a law degree as well. So I decided to go to law school. When I got out of law school, I still wasn't sure whether I was going to teach or not. In fact, I had a job offer to go teach in a law school, which I seriously considered. But I practiced for a while, and after a couple of years of practice, I loved the practice of law so much, I ended up sticking with the law. I have, however, taught a number of courses, so I haven't completely abandoned teaching.
You have a special way to deal with dyslexia?
I don't think there is a special way. There's not a special way that I know of. I think that it takes, most of all, it takes patience. It particularly takes patience when you're young. Because when you're young, acquiring knowledge is primarily what you do in school. The farther you get in school, the more processing that knowledge becomes important. But in the beginning, you've got, before you can process knowledge, you've got to acquire it. And it takes patience during those years, because an awful lot of knowledge is acquired by reading. And with dyslexia, reading is hard. So I think that the dealing with dyslexia requires patience. It requires an understanding that things are going to get better. They're going to get better because you're going to learn how to adapt, how to cope. But they're also going to get better because you're going to progress to the point where your ability to think and reason and process information is more important than simply acquiring information. And so there's a sense in which dyslexia is always the hardest at the time when people are the most vulnerable, when they are the youngest, the less certain, often the less patient. And it requires, on the part of people with dyslexia, their parents, their teachers, and everybody else, to understand what it is and isn't. And I think when you understand that it is a learning difference, it's not a learning disability, it's a learning difference, and you understand that it doesn't affect, and it is not a marker in any way for people's intelligence and ability to process information, then I think you can be more patient and have the perseverance to do what you need to do. So I think that the basic way that I feel you deal with dyslexia is just working through it patiently, you know, one foot, as they say, in front of the other, as you work through the times that are most difficult, you know, knowing that there are going to be times when it becomes much easier.
Mm-hmm. How do you usually overcome dyslexia?
Well, I think you do it in a variety of ways. As I say, there's a sense in which you never overcome dyslexia, or at least I don't. I haven't. I will always, I think, have some differences in the way that I read, and that will affect how fast I read. But I think that you, quote, overcome it, close quote, in the sense of managing it, by learning to adapt. You learn techniques in terms of reading. You learn patience. You learn focus. As I say, I read more slowly than most of my colleagues, but my comprehension is better, in part because I'm going more slowly, but also in part because of my focus. I think you also learn techniques of adaptation, like listening. I think that people who have dyslexia tend to become really good listeners. And as you grow older and have more responsibilities, listening is a really important technique. I think there's more advantage in being a good listener than being a good reader, because most of what you're going to be doing in life is listening to people. So I think that you overcome it with patience, you overcome it with adaptations, and I think you often find that those adaptations serve you very well later in life.
Last question. Did you ever have to double a class?
Ever have to do what?
Like have to
Repeat?
like
Repeat?
redo, like redo.
Like repeat.
Repeat a class.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I grew up in an era in which I grew up in a small farming community in northern Illinois in the 1940s. They didn't repeat people or hold people back. They just promoted them to the next grade. Most of my colleagues, very few of my colleagues planned to go to college. It was a small, my town, little town that called Marengo. It had about 2,500 people, and it was the largest town for 15 miles around. So we had a population that was going to grow up to be farmers and mechanics, and some teachers. But there were very few people who planned to, for example, do graduate work, and not even that many people who planned to go to college. So it was a very different environment than the kind of situation that people face today. And for somebody with dyslexia, it was actually, although you didn't have the help that's available today, and you didn't have the understanding of it that's available today, in some ways it was an easier time to have dyslexia, because people's expectations of reading weren't that important. The reading was not a highly prized skill of young boys growing up in Marengo, Illinois at the time.
That was our last question.
All right. Cool. Well, Matilda, you did an awesome job. High five. Really impressed.
Very nice. Yes. And
Job.
one of the things about being a lawyer is learning to ask questions. And you've got a really good head start.
Definitely. Great job. Well, Mr. Boyce, thank you so much for your time. Matilda, thank you for your time. This has been a very special episode of Briarwood Kids Ask, and we'll see you next time. So thank you.
Absolutely.
I
Take
appreciate it.
care.
Thank you. You
All the
too.
best.
Thank
All the
you.
best.
Bye-bye.
Bye.